This is DW News live from Berlin. A pro-democracy media tycoon tells DW News that Hong Kong will continue to resist. Jimmy Lai unbowed by his 40-hour detention under a new security law imposed by Beijing.
I can't be scared. If I'm scared, I won't be able to do anything or say anything.
Also coming up, huge crowds gather in the Belarusian capital Minsk at the spot where a protester died this week in clashes with police. Demonstrators demanding new elections have Europe's support, but authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko says Russia is backing him. I'm Marina Effenstein. It's good to have you with us. Hong Kong media tycoon Jimmy Lai has denied colluding with foreign governments. He made the statement after being released from prison on bail. Lai was arrested last Monday under a new security law imposed by Beijing. During an interview with DW, he said he expected resistance in Hong Kong to China would continue.
Veteran campaigner Jimmy Lai has been detained many times, but this was the first time he was taken away in handcuffs. Lai told DW that although he expected his arrest, he was surprised that it came so soon and that his sons were also targeted.
This time they act so early, maybe because they have to sow the teeth. I was actually shocked, and that makes it more scary. Especially when they take your family involved with what you do. I think this is a very effective intimidation to the community.
Lai says his most emotional moment this week was when he was surrounded by supporters after he was freed on bail. During his 40-hour detention, police showed him interviews he did with foreign media, op-eds, and some social media posts as evidence of suspected collusion with foreign forces, a new offence that could put him in jail for life.
I met Mike Pence, I met Pompeo and some of the senators and congressmen in the US. But if you call this as collusion, what can I say? So mostly my collusion is to have interviews.
Why are you still doing that right now?
I can't be scared. If I'm scared, I won't be able to do anything or say anything. That's why I accept your interview without any doubt.
Beijing is making similar allegations against the media tycoon's newspaper Apple Daily, the most read and critical paper in town. Its newsroom was also raided. Lai had this message for his staff.
I told them that consider your own safety, your conscience and your obligation to the society. We are not asking you to be the martyr, but, you know, do whatever you think is the right thing to do. So we would just continue to do it and test the water.
Many protesters have been left wondering what now, as both peaceful and violent activism seem in vain.
The last scale demonstration will be the thing of the past. But it doesn't mean that people will cease to resist. I think the resistance will go on, but in a different way. I definitely don't agree that we have to confront them head on, because this is going to be a long fight. We have to be flexible and cautious and creative. Our only power is our moral authority.
Why do you believe that peaceful protests can pressure on the Chinese government?
If we use violence, how can you be more violent than the CCP, who have guns and tanks?
The billionaire fled to Hong Kong from mainland China when he was a penniless 12-year-old. He attributes his success to the freedom he found in the territory. But he's not planning another escape, even though he may have to spend the rest of his life behind bars.
I was sink with the ship, because this place gave me everything. You know, I'm in debt to this place. I'm very grateful for what this place has given me. I'm 73 almost. So maybe it's a payback time. why should I regret doing the right thing?
And our correspondent, Phoebe Kong, who did that interview with Jimmy Lai, joins me now from Hong Kong. Hello to you, Phoebe. So listening to Jimmy Lai speaking there, he said the resistance in Hong Kong will go on, but in a different way. What do you think he means by that?
Well, Jimmy Lai admitted in the interview that he thinks there's not much people can do on the street right now in Hong Kong because of the new sweeping national security law. But despite the fact that it's not very possible to hold any massive demonstration, but he thinks people should continue to find other peaceful and creative ways to sustain the movement. For example, to voice a support to other international communities, because he thinks Hong Kong, the moral power is the greatest strength that Hong Kongers have at the moment, and that can help them to draw international support to achieve their demands. And apart from that, he also thinks that it's also important for the opposition figures to remain in office. Even though the election is postponed for more than a year right now, but he thinks it's still important for people and opposition figures to fight inside the institution.
Well, Phoebe, you mentioned Jimmy Lai talking about support from overseas, specifically support from the United States. If the U.S. is actively supporting Hong Kong's pro-democracy opposition, what could that mean for relations between the U.S. and mainland China?
Well, the U.S.-China relationship has been already very intense through the past few months and through the past 1 to 2 years because of the trade war and because of the Hong Kong protests. Broke out last year that we saw a lot of tit-for-tat retaliation between China and U.S. And Hong Kong is considered as the forefront of the so-called neo-cold war between the two superpowers. So we definitely expect that this kind of intense atmosphere and the relations will carry on because of the situation now in Hong Kong that the U.S. strongly opposed to the way of China ruled Hong Kong, especially the implementation of the national security law. So we expect there will be many more retaliatory measures laid out between the two superpowers.
DW's Phoebe Kong reporting from Hong Kong. Thank you so much. All right, let's turn our attention to Belarus now, where thousands of protesters have again rallied across the country. They're demanding the resignation of authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko after last weekend's disputed election. The European Union is set to impose sanctions over the government's violent crackdown on protests. On Saturday, Lukashenko reached out to Russia's President Vladimir Putin for his support.
Long live Belarus, they chant. It was a day of mixed emotions on the streets of Minsk. Thousands gathered for the funeral of a man who died on Monday in clashes with police. At this demonstration, unusually, security forces were nowhere to be seen. Since last Sunday's election, calls for President Alexander Lukashenko to stand aside have only grown louder in the face of his defiance. Protesters and the opposition accuse him of rigging the vote and say his leadership lacks legitimacy. Every day, what will happen remains unclear. He thinks completely differently, and depending how the situation evolves, he will act accordingly. But his methods are not civilized, and everyone has learned this in the last 26 years. It is obvious that our president can no longer cope with his people. He is looking for help in the East. He understands that he does not have support from the West. Facing mounting pressure, Lukashenko called Russian President Vladimir Putin in search of support. He warned the protests were not just a threat to Belarus. That is why today I had a long and detailed conversation with the Russian president. I have to say, I was a little surprised it was totally devoted to what is happening, and we agreed with him. If we request it, all necessary help will be provided to help secure the safety of Belarus. The Kremlin, for its part, said the two men expressed certainty that the situation in Belarus would soon be resolved.
Well, meanwhile, DW's Belarus correspondent, Alexander Burakov, has been released from detention. Burakov reports for DW's Russian language service. He was arrested in his hometown, Mogilyov, just a few days before the presidential election. Burakov received a 10-day prison sentence for petty hooliganism, charges he denies and which he is considering appealing. Burakov says his prosecution was purely political. It was his second time in prison this year. Let's get a check now of some of the other stories making news around the world. Israel launched further airstrikes on Hamas positions in Gaza overnight and has closed the enclave's offshore fishing zone. The army said the measures were in response to rockets and balloon firebombs being sent into Israeli territory over the past week. It's the most intense escalation of hostilities in months. Protesters have gathered outside the home of the United States Postmaster General after the Postal Service said it couldn't guarantee all ballots for November's election would arrive in time to be counted. The Postmaster General, who's a wealthy Republican donor, has ordered a raft of cost-cutting measures since his appointment in May. It's feared that millions of voters could be disenfranchised. Firefighters in California are battling numerous blazes raging in the north and south of the U.S. state amid a record-breaking heat wave. This fire along the Nevada border prompted authorities to order evacuations and shut a major highway. It's already destroyed more than 8,000 hectares. And now let's bring you up to date with the latest developments in the coronavirus pandemic. The World Health Organization is sounding the alarm after the number of new infections hit an all-time high. According to the WHO, nearly 300,000 cases were recorded across the world just in the past 24 hours. South Korea and the U.S. have delayed their annual joint military drills after a South Korean officer tested positive for COVID-19. The training is now due to start on Tuesday, but its scope has been scaled down. And New Zealand's Deputy Prime Minister has called for a delay to the planned September general election. That's after an abrupt resurgence in coronavirus cases in the country's largest city, Auckland. All right, to soccer now. And in the last of the Champions League quarterfinal matches, underdogs Lyon stunned Manchester City in their clash in Lisbon on Saturday night. Maxwell Cornet opened the scoring in the 24th minute, the Ivorian firing in a goal from 30 meters. Kevin De Bruyne pulled the sides level with a shot in the 69th minute. Late in the game, Moussa Dembélé powered in two more goals for Lyon to secure the victory, 3-1 the final score. Lyon will now face Bayern Munich in the Champions League semifinals. Well, political Twitter fights are not unusual in a run-up to a presidential election, but now a surprisingly animated spat has broken out between a campaign advisor to U.S. President Donald Trump and a very famous suburban housewife. Presidential aide Jenna Ellis kicked off the war of words when she tweeted that presumptive Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris sounded like Marge Simpson, prompting a rush of comments. But it's likely one person she did not expect to hear from was Marge Simpson herself.
I usually don't get into politics, but the president's senior advisor, Jenna Ellis, just said Kamala Harris sounds like me. Lisa says she doesn't mean it as a compliment. If that's so, as an ordinary suburban housewife, I'm starting to feel a little disrespected. I teach my children not to name call Jenna. I was going to say I'm off, but I'm afraid they bleep it.
Yes, indeed. We did have to bleep that expletive. I'm Mariana Evanstein. You're up to date on DW News from